Good morning. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Today is the New York City Marathon. 26.2 miles. I got up early this morning, ran the marathon, finished and went home and changed. And I want you guys to know I won the marathon. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now. People that run those kind of races, they are not normal. I don't know what it is about long distance running. I can't do it. If it's over 100 meters, I cannot do it. Believe it or not, there's actually a race in South Africa called the Comrades. It's an ultra marathon. 55 miles. The record is 5 hours and 18 seconds for the guys. And the record for the women is 5 hours and 54 minutes for the women. It was a race established in 1921. And we actually have some members, your brothers and sisters have run the Comrades. It's one thing running a marathon, it's something else running an ultra marathon. I don't know how people do that. You couldn't pay me to run a marathon. Now, I could run a marathon, and I can do 1 mile a day so that I will be done on the 26th of the month, if you know what I'm saying. But it's challenging. It takes a lot to participate in a race like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever." Can I get an amen? Amen. "Therefore, as a result of this, we do not run like people running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Amen? Amen. I've titled the lesson this morning, "The Kingdom Marathon." The Kingdom Marathon. Brothers and sisters, we need to run this race to win it. Okay. I want to know you're out there. I want to hear your amen. Amen. You got an extra hour sleep. I got 2 hours extra sleep. You know what I do when we fall back, like today? I go to bed an hour earlier than usual. And so, I went to bed last night at 10:30. And I set my alarm for 7 this morning. And I slept through the night. And I woke up and I was feeling so rested. And I leaned over and I looked at the clock. It said, after 6. So I got up. And so, yes, everybody else got one. I got 2. Because, you know, I put it on the back end last night. But I do that every year. And so I got a lot of energy in me this morning. Okay? And I know you also got an extra hour of sleep. So I want to hear your amen. Amen? Okay, now we're talking. You see, the Christian life is compared to a race. It's not a sprint like 100 meters or 200 meters. It's more like a marathon. It's a long distance race. Now, I love sports. Okay? I watch sports to relax and to decompress. And when my team is on TV or my team is playing and they're winning, I am screaming. Okay? And, you know, Sarah sitting next to me going, "Hey, you're loud." I don't care what the neighbors think. They can call the cops if they want. my team is winning. I'm fired up. But you see, I get very animated because I love sports. It's awesome to watch your team and to see them win. I used to run 100 meters when I was younger. And there's a brother in the church. I'm not going to mention his name. He challenged me to a race. He challenged me in 100 meters. He says, oh, I used to play defensive back in high school, and his father. I said, oh, really? I said, Prince challenged me. And so, church, when that race happens in the springtime, I'm going to invite all of you to come and witness. I'm twice his age, but I'm going to beat him. You know, come to think of it, I'm twice his age, and so he needs to give me a 50-meter head start. And he can go recruit Usain Bolt if he wants from Jamaica. There is no way in the world Usain Bolt is going to catch me with a 50-meter head start. It's not happening. By the way, I've lost 15 pounds. And he, on the other hand, he just got married. And Liz is fattening him up. And so, bro, I'll see you in the springtime. But I love sports. I love races. Okay, there are different kinds of races. You got Formula One. There's NASCAR. There's a bicycle race called Tour de France. Again, those people, there's something wrong with them. I mean, they are racing in the Alps in France at high altitude for days. I don't know how they do it. There's obviously horse racing, there's track and field. That's what I watch during the Olympics. I love track and field. It's awesome. Obviously, we have marathons, New York, London, Chicago, name it. And then there's dog racing. There are all kinds of races. But this morning, I want us to talk about the kingdom race, the kingdom marathon. Amen? For many of us, you started this race in the kingdom several years ago. And some of us are new Christians. I want to commend you for starting this race. Amen? It's not been easy, but guess what? God never promised it would. If anything, he says we must go through many trials to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Because it takes courage and conviction to be a Christian. Anybody can slip around. Anybody can lie. Anybody can steal. Anybody can cheat on their taxes. But it takes a man and a woman of conviction to start this race, let alone live it every single day. So you need to be commended. Amen? One day, we're going to talk about it very, very soon. You are going to receive a crown of righteousness. Who wears crowns? Royalty. Amen? Oh, you're going to be fired up about this lesson. You see, we got to be very careful that even as we run this race, we take the long view of things. You know, it was actually yesterday I looked up the route of the New York City Marathon. I'd never looked it up before. Realized that they start over in Staten Island and they cross the Verrazano. And so obviously the Verrazano Bridge is closed right now. And I saw that a few days ago. And then they come into Brooklyn. And most of the race is actually in Brooklyn. All the way up, a little in Queens, and then they turn to Manhattan and they come and end up in Central Park. I had no idea all these years watching it on television. But now that I live here, when I looked up the route, I said, okay, how am I going to get to church on Sunday? I even sent a text to Mike Face. I said, is this going to affect me getting to church? And then he sent me something and said, this might help. And so we pull up this morning, we're coming down on 6, all of a sudden that is closed, so I had to go around to Barclays to get over here. But I'm here. Amen? It's exciting. But you see, unlike this physical race, our race is not a game. This time next year, they're going to do this race all over again. Chances are you don't remember who won the New York City Marathon in 2010. Because every year, they pick a new winner. But you see, this life that you and I are living, we get to live it only once. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that's why we cannot afford to mess this up. Our eternity with God is at stake. He says that anyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. These guys that are running right now, they've been practicing for this for months, for years. You don't just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to do the marathon. You're not going to make it. You got to get your body in shape, amen? And he says we need to run in such a way as to get the prize. Again, we're talking spiritually this morning. So my question to you is this. Are you running in such a way as to get the prize? One of the things that I'm not very happy about is what the devil has done to a lot of Christians, not just in Brooklyn, not just in New York City, all over the world during this pandemic. Many of us have gotten flabby spiritually. Many of us are struggling, and it shouldn't be that way. Another reason we cannot delay and continue our strict training is because life is very short. And so I'm asking you this morning, what kind of race are you running? The way we make decisions shows the kind of race that we are running. It's the day-to-day decisions. And I'm going to get to my 3 points very quickly, and then I'm going to sit down and be quiet. I got a phone call on Monday that our sister Fiola John has crossed over to the other side. By the way, kids, I didn't forget you. The operative word today is race or running. Okay? I got tons of candy. All right? Race, running. That's the word. Fiola John ran her race, and now she's gone to the other side. And truth be told, she would not trade places with any of us. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for Michael. He's actually here in person this morning at church. Pray for her mother. She's hurting. They're both hurting. The entire family is hurting. It's tough. But you know, there's no doubt in my mind where she is right now. And one day, they're going to be making an announcement that you've crossed over. You're going to be making an announcement that I've crossed over. Brothers and sisters, what is death? It's simply the door we all need to go through to get to eternity. That's all it is. Yes, we miss her on this side of eternity, but I got news for you. Fiola John is alive. Can I get an amen? Amen. She's alive. She's on the other side. And as long as you and I continue to run this race with perseverance, when we get to the other side, she's going to be in the welcoming party. When you show up, she's going to be there with all the saints that have gone before us to welcome you into God's eternal dwelling. Amen? Amen. You see, when a Christian passes, it does 3 things for me. First of all, I'm very happy for that person that, you know what, their race is over. They've gone to receive their reward. It's all perspective. Secondly, I ask myself, what godly character in this person can I imitate and include in my life? That's the second thing I do. So I want to encourage you to do all 3. And the third thing I do, it sobers me up. It always does. To realize that, you know what? Am I still living my life with purpose? Because one day, an announcement is going to go out that Richard has crossed over. It's all going to happen for every single one of us. And so I'm asking you this morning, how is the training going? How often do you consult the coach, our God in heaven? Are you getting trained by him? Or has Satan so deceived you that you are out of shape spiritually? How's it going? Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, I've lost 15 pounds. The last time I weighed myself, I was 222 pounds. Now I'm at 207. My goal was to get down to 200. I haven't weighed 200 pounds in 35 years. And I thought, hey, okay, I'm going to push that back some. And so now my goal is 190. I'm going for it. You know, I was looking at myself in the mirror the other day, and I was like, I'm seeing, you know, this line over here. I said, man, I may get to see my six-pack on this side of eternity. I've never had a six-pack. Now it's there, but there's a lot of, you know, excess baggage in front of it, but it's melting away. It's exciting. I'm fired up. Some of you guys, you have six-packs. I'm coming. And this is just changing what I put in my mouth. I mean, I've read about all this stuff for years, but it's finally making sense. Losing weight, I've figured out, finally, it's 80% what you put in your mouth. I thought it was about exercise. Now, don't get me wrong, exercise is great. All I've been eating is protein and veggies. I had lunch with Andrew yesterday, and I was joking with him. I said, in the last 5 years, I have eaten more veggies than I've done my entire life. But it's awesome. I no longer have the sugar cravings. We went to this diner, and as I was going, they were taking me to the seat. They had this refrigerator, and it was chocolate cake and carrot cake and red velvet cake and cheesecake. And I just walked by, and I was like, okay, I see you. But I wasn't tempted. Come realize, that's all I was eating, was all this sugar, which is not good for me. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the doctor in 2 months. Says, dude, you gotta bring that sugar level down. Says, here's how we're gonna do it. Lose some weight and start eating this. I remember a few years ago when I went in to see my doctor. By the way, okay, I need to talk to the brothers in here, all right? Brother, if you're over 40 in here, you need to see your doctor at least once a year. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay? Those of you that are married, I'm sure the wives are saying, amen, Richard, preach. Because if you're anything like me, I don't like going to the doctor. You know, I'll be in bed and I'm not feeling well. There's something going on. And Sarah will tell me to go to the doctor and I won't do it. And she will call Ann Williams. Ann Williams in our church in Atlanta, she was like, you know, grandma. And all of a sudden, my phone rings and it's Ann Williams. She will go, son, how you doing? And I go, uh-oh, Sarah's called you, hasn't she? And I gave her permission to do that. And so she said, you need to go to the hospital. And I'll never forget one thing she said to me. I said, Miss Ann, I'm okay. I'm going to be fine. She goes, son, listen to me. And she says, we need you well so that you can continue to feed us spiritually. Yes, ma'am. I got out of bed and I went to the doctor. And so I'm sharing that to say, I don't like going to the doctor either. But I'm telling you, when something is going on in your body, chances are if you're going at least every year, the same time, they're going to catch it. Are you with me? And so, you know, years ago, I went for my normal checkup. And my doctor said to me, he says, you're pre-diabetic. I said, what does that mean? He says, exactly what I just said. You're pre-diabetic. I said, okay, what do I need to do? He goes, I want you to cut out the rice, cut out the pasta, cut out the bread, cut out the sweets and the ice cream and chocolate. And I looked at him, I'm thinking, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because that's all I ate. I said, Doc, you might as well kill me. He was a Christian, by the way, in the church in Atlanta. I said, Doc, you might as well kill me. He goes, Richard, this is serious. But I didn't listen. I didn't listen. I kept on eating my rice. I kept on eating the sweets, you know. I kept on eating the ice cream. You know, when I go into the grocery store, I don't buy one pint of ice cream. I buy like 7, 8 of them. I'm confessing my sins, but I have repented. Because there's no ice cream in my refrigerator right now, none. But I say all that to say, when the doctor told me a month ago that you have diabetes, I was like, whoa. But he says, you can turn this around very quickly. He says, lose the weight, start eating right, proteins and veggies, cut out the carbs, cut out the sweets. And so when I got on the scale, I was like, 15 pounds? I was like, yes, there's a God in heaven. Maybe losing weight for you is not a struggle. It is for me. And so I'm thanking God because I want to stay around so that I can continue to do the Lord's work. Are you with me? We got to take care of this body. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is a wake-up call for me. So, again, I'm asking you, how are you doing in this race? Let me make 3 quick points. Now, sit down and be quiet. Number one, God established the rules in this race. God established the rules. Number two, you need to develop a dedicated and winning strategy. A dedicated and winning strategy. And number three, quitting is not an option. Quitting is not an option. So let's talk about God establishes the rules. God gave us life. He determines the times and the places. You know, the New York City Marathon organizers determine where the race is going to start and which bridge they're going to go over and where it's going to end. Can you imagine me showing up and say, hey, I want to participate in the marathon, but I don't want to go over the Verrazano. I want to go over the GWB. And I don't want to end up in Central Park. I want to end up in Prospect Park. What do you think they're going to say to me? They're going to say, excuse me, who are you? Why? Because I don't get to determine the rules. They do. In this race called life, in this kingdom race, guess what? God already determined the rules. Those rules are in what you and I call our Bibles. That's the rule book. But the truth of the matter is, everyone must follow the rules. Just like today, the organizers are not making exceptions for anybody. God is not going to make exceptions for you and me either. Living the Christian life is the same for everybody. How you become one and how you stay one. Amen? Have you noticed how the world is constantly trying to change the rules? Whether it's about who can get married. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we discriminate against each other. But God is the one who said marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen? And we are not going to apologize for that. I may have told you this before. When several years ago, when President Obama said, okay, now, you know, men can marry men and women can marry women. I wrote to him. I said, Mr. President, with all due respect, I said, my Bible teaches that marriage is between a man and a woman. I said, you need to leave issues like this to people like me. Now, I'm not saying, quote unquote, they want to be together for the rest of their lives or whatever. Fine. But I said, you cannot call it marriage. Call it something else. Call it unions. But you cannot call it marriage. As humans, we cannot change the definitions that God has given. He already established those rules. Are you with me? The same thing with parenting. You see these psychologists, oh, you know, you don't spank the kid. You try and reason with them and you try and talk to them. You don't want to damage their self-esteem. And my Bible tells me that sin is bound up in the heart of a child. That I need to discipline them. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't discipline your kids in anger. Okay, that's a totally different topic. But I'm telling you, growing up, my mother whooped me. And I grew up having respect for authority. Amen? I'm glad she whooped me. When I did wrong, she let me have it. I remember one time, again, I'm confessing my sins here. I can't remember how old I was. And she sat me down. She goes, son, if you go get a girl pregnant, I will kill you. I said, yes, ma'am. That is not going to happen. Now, she wasn't going to kill me physically. I mean, but I heard loud and clear what she was saying. You see, when I was growing up, in my culture, if you go get a girl pregnant, you'll be expelled from school. Both of you. They will expel you. And so my mom said, you're not gonna bring her into this house. And I remember that throughout my life. Fast forward, I must have shared that story with my daughters. And so one day my oldest, they're in high school at this point, and they're talking with her classmates and everything. And one morning I'm dropping them off at school, and she's telling me the story. Oh yeah. Yesterday we were talking about this and this and this. And one of the girls looked at my daughter and says, what would you do if you got pregnant? My father would kill me. And I was like, oh, I forgot. I told them that story. But that was what my daughter got. Now, praise God, they're both Christians right now. And they're in the Dallas church. But you see, God established the rules for all these things. Parenting, loving each other, walking together. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you employing worldly tactics and trying to win this spiritual race? It doesn't work. Okay, God is the authority. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, he says, everything in the world will be fulfilled. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, he says, the word of God stands firm forever. God is the authority. He's already spoken. He's already established the rules. Nobody, no country, no democracy, no group of people has the right to change anything. Are you with me? All you and I need to do is continue to follow the word of God that saved us, and one day is the same word that's going to lead us back to the throne of God. I like to say it this way. If your name isn't God, your opinion doesn't matter. Seriously. Because sometimes as humans, we get so full of ourselves. If your name isn't God, your opinion means nothing. God sets the rules. We need to play by God's rules and not try to cheat. Amen? You and I disobey God at our own peril. Number two, second point very quickly. Develop a dedicated and winning strategy. Again, I don't know who's won the marathon this morning. I didn't run it, and I didn't win. You knew that already. Would you believe that a lot of these guys that run these races, they train in high altitude? Again, you will notice most of the winners are either from Kenya or from Ethiopia. You know what those guys are doing every day? They are training at almost 7,800 feet above sea level every single day. And for a lot of these guys, they will be from, say maybe from this village or this town, and their school is about 5 miles away, and they grab their book bag and they're just running, barefoot, going to school and coming back. From when like 4 or 5 years old. And so when they get into their teens, they're so used to that. So what happens is they train at that altitude every day. Nairobi actually is higher than Denver in terms of altitude. Denver is called the Mile High City. The city of Nairobi, where I met my wife and we got married and we lived for many years, is actually higher than Denver. And so you get to Nairobi and you keep going high to the Rift Valley. Beautiful, beautiful, breathtaking. Some of you may remember the movie Out of Africa. All that stuff was shot in Kenya. But anyway, these guys are training at 78,000 feet above sea level on a daily basis, where the air is very thin. So when they get to sea level, oh my goodness, they are just flying because they've got so much oxygen. That's why they keep winning. So guess what? Guys that are trying to compete with them, they now go over there to train for months. And they actually have a high altitude training center in this town called Iten, Kenya, with dormitories and Olympic sized swimming pool and weight room and everything. So these guys now get over there and they train. And that's why you would notice in the last several years, other people have been competing against these guys and staying with them. It's all training. That's all it is. So guys that are training on sea level, they don't have a chance. It's not possible. Are you with me? But you see, in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Amen? We reap what we sow. What's your strategy? Pick a strategy that works. You know, one of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to keep on changing. You know, those guys that started in Staten Island and then they crossed the Verrazano Bridge and then they come into Brooklyn. The strategy to run a marathon is very different from the beginning than from even from the middle of the race to the end of the race. I mean, can you imagine if I, you know, decide, okay, I'm going to run the marathon and the gun goes off. And I'm out there. I can promise you, I'm not even going to make it to the end of Verrazano Bridge. Not at that speed. Why? Because it's not a sprint. I gotta keep doing this, you know? And then you will notice, in the middle of the race, a pack breaks off. Because those guys step on it. All of a sudden, even before church, I was checking the news, and it says, a pack of nine had broken off. And so, which means the winner is going to come from that pack. And as they get towards the end, all of a sudden, somebody takes off. Say, "Catch me if you can." There's a strategy to this. Are you with me? Some of these guys have incredible kicks. When they just pick it up, it's like, where's that energy coming from? But there's a strategy. Are you with me? Same thing is true spiritually. So I'm asking you, what's your strategy? Or are you just, let's just see what happens today? You are not going to win with that kind of a mindset. The small decisions we make every day is going to decide whether we get to heaven or not. Amen? So I'm asking you again this morning, what is your goal in life? Your goal in life needs to see the face of God. And if that's not your goal in life here, you need to change it. I mean, today, not tomorrow, today. Because if you and I live this life and we don't end up seeing the face of God, our lives would have been a total waste. I mean, this world is messed up. I mean, where Fiola is right now, there is no crying. There is no mourning. There's no sin. Wow. And that's where we and I are going to spend eternity. The devil is not going to be there. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I feel another sermon coming. This is what I think about every day. Amen? We need to face and continue to face this life. My best friend in college, I don't know what got into me that day. He came to mind. He was from Ghana. We were both accounting majors. And I Googled his name. And I saw inmate so and so. I was like, what? And I looked it up. And there was a picture of him. He looked like a man in his 70s. I couldn't believe it. Even back then, all he did was chase women and drink and party. Now, I'm not saying I'm any better. But that was the path he chose. But see where it ended him. I think he's out right now. And the reason I know that is because somehow he got a hold of my younger brother's number. We were all in Connecticut together. And he asked my brother for my number. And even my brother said, I'm not even going to give it to you. He's just asking for money. And I know you don't have any. Okay. Thank you. You see, we got to be very careful. Are you cheating in this race? You will be found out. You know, many years ago, there was a guy named Lance Armstrong. He wrote this book called It's Not About the Bike. I read the book in 2 days. I was so inspired. I'm buying extras and I'm giving it to people to read. Lance Armstrong was doping the whole time when he won all those Tour de France's in a row. Now, he's also a cancer survivor. And you know, you see these plastic armbands? He was the one that started it. His was yellow. And it said, Live Strong on it. That's the guy. But he was lying and he was cheating. And he was found out. He's a disgraced guy right now. He owes a lot of money. The same is true for the Christian race. If you lie and cheat, you're going to be found out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, it's going to come out. So don't cheat yourself. Amen? Scripture says there is nothing hidden that will not be made manifest. What was whispered in the inner rooms will be shouted from the rooftops. Are you with me? So don't try and cheat. Don't try and hide. If there is sin in your life, confess it, repent of it, and it's time to move on. Amen? We get only one chance at this life. You can't afford to mess this up. I gotta wrap this stuff up. Lance's reputation is down the toilet. I had to call people up and apologize. I said, I'm sorry, I gave you that book. I was fooled also. I remember going to my shelf and picking up my copy and throwing it in the garbage. I don't have it anymore. You see, you gotta keep your eternity in view. You gotta stay the course. You gotta obey God's rules so that you and I can finish well. Amen? My third point very quickly, quitting is not an option. Quitting is not an option. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, begin verse 6. Paul writes, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. This is the last letter the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy the evangelist. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen? That's talking about us. Are you with me? A crown of righteousness awaits us. This is what I pray that all of us will be able to say at the end of our lives. Or when Jesus calls you home. Amen? I pray that people will say this about us. That Wale fought a good fight. That Shalom finished the race. That Daisy kept the faith. That's what it's all about. Amen? Only royalty wear crowns. And God is giving you and I a little glimpse right here. Amen? So all I'm saying to you is don't disqualify yourself through the decisions you make along this journey. There is nothing in this world worth losing your salvation over. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing in this world worth losing your salvation over. You cannot name it. It's not worth it. Amen? Everybody's running some kind of race. If you're thinking about your relationship with God this morning, if you're visiting with us in person or online, I'm glad that you came. It's not a perfect church, but boy, are we trying to live out our lives according to what the Bible teaches in this place. That we have renounced shameful and sinful ways, and we're trying to be disciples of Jesus like we read in the Bible. That's what it is. That's what you've walked into. That's what you're watching. And I'm glad that you're here. We don't mince words. My middle name is Blunt. If the Bible says it, I'm going to say it. And if it's not there, I'm not interested. Because this is not a game. We all get one chance at this life. Amen? We're all making our way to heaven as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, according to the scriptures, then you are going to hell. He said, Ricky, how can you say that? Because my Bible tells me so. Amen. There's only one door. And Jesus said, that gate is narrow. And that road is narrow. Says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I feel another summer coming. I'm not going to do that to you. Not today, anyhow. Maybe I'll preach that next week. All this garbage about all roads lead to heaven is a bunch of nonsense. If all roads lead to heaven, think about it. Why would Jesus come here and show us the way? Go think about that for a second. All that rubbish is the language of the devil. Amen? And so let me wrap this up. This is Usain Bolt many years ago, winning that gold medal. Man, that boy can run. I don't think a human is meant to run that fast. But you know, when you've won your race, you stand up on the podium. They put the medal around your neck. And I've actually held a gold medal before. Okay, there was a sister in the Lagos church. She was a Paralympian, and she set the world record in weightlifting. And she brought it to church after, I think it was in Seoul. She's in a wheelchair, so they put her on stage, and I took the thing out of the beautiful, shining. It's not pure, solid gold, obviously, but it's gold-plated. And I put it around her neck. This is actually heavy. I was very surprised, you know, and put it around her neck. So when you win the race, they put the medal around your neck. And then they do one more thing. They play your national anthem. Because you're representing a country. Okay? Brothers and sisters, I don't know what that anthem is going to sound like when we cross over, but I'm telling you, it's going to be something else. I get emotional when athletes, you know, win the medal and they're playing the Star Spangled Banner. I get emotional. I remember the day my wife and I and our daughters, you know, became American citizens and they were playing that national anthem. I started to tear up. One day, we're going to hear that heavenly anthem, okay? But before I do that, I want to give you some practicals. Let me give you some practicals. Some practicals on finishing a marathon, okay? Okay, Richard, everything you've said, what am I supposed to do with this? Okay, here it is. Take things one day at a time. That's all you can do anyhow. I'm talking daily Bible study, taking notes, pray throughout the day. Number two, this is big. You need to have people in your life that are going to hold you accountable. Can I get an amen? I'm still here, 35 and a half years later, because many people are holding me accountable. You know, One of the reasons why we came here to New York City, as opposed to other places that we could have gone, because we have peers here. My wife and I are in several discipling relationships in the New York City church. Not only here in Brooklyn, but even with the staff.
That's exciting to me. Because people are holding me accountable. And they're asking me, so Richard, how you doing? I don't even wait for them to call me. I call them. Does that make sense? Because we need one another. You can't do this on your own. The devil will have you for breakfast. Spend time getting help from others. Make time to rest, relax, and recuperate. You know, the Sabbath principle is in the Bible. You know that, right? Now, you may say, why don't we have church on Saturday? That's a different day, different topic. In the book of Acts, the first century Christians started meeting on Sunday because that's the day the Lord rose from the dead, and that's why we meet on Sunday. Are you with me? And then also, 9 out of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament except for the command to obey the Sabbath. I'm going to teach you about that some other time. But you can go read your Bible because you have the same Bible that I read. Amen? This stuff is not rocket science. Remember, the word of God will last forever. Invest time in it. Amen? But you need to make time to rest and to relax. For my wife and I, our Sabbath is Monday. I don't do anything on Mondays. Chances are, if you call me or you know. Now, if I'll answer if there's an emergency, which I did this past Monday. But on Mondays, I try to rest. Because I'm not the energizer bunny. I got rest. Are you with me? So you too, are you resting? I'm talking about where you take the day off and you do nothing. Now God help you if you got kids. But praise God, they've gone back to school. They've gone to school, drop them at school, come back, and just get back into bed. Hey, honey, what are you doing? Richard told me to rest. That's what I'm doing. So you go help pick up the kids in the afternoon. Amen. Let her rest. Let him rest. But take the time. Amen. Don't go to every appointment. Learn to say no. Oh, is that a new teaching around here? Learn to say no. I think some of us, we are afraid to hurt other people's feelings. Now, you know what? Bro, I can't do it. I can't do it at this time. I just can't. Now, if that person has an attitude, you need to help them with it. Amen? But learn to say no. Now, I'm not saying you're not doing anything for anybody, and everybody that calls you, no. Now we got a problem. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? That's a totally different day, different sermon. Are you with me? But rest. Focus on the finish line. Daily. Serve in the church in some capacity. Get involved. Don't be a loner. Don't be a loner. Amen? We all get one chance at this life. We can't afford to mess it up. Again, on his own, Andrew called me up this week. And he said, hey, can we get together? I said, sure. And so Saturday at noon, we met. He took me to this diner. Ooh, the grilled chicken salad was off the chain. He was so kind. He goes, does your wife want anything? I said, no. I said, on a second thought, I think she's going to like a piece of that chocolate cake. And I took it home. She still hasn't eaten it. It's in the refrigerator. I'm not going to touch it. You know, several weeks ago, that chocolate cake would not have made it home. I would have eaten it and gone home and said, you know, Richard, this brother got you chocolate cake, but I'm sorry, I ate it. You know, when I take you out next time, I'll make it up to you. But it's amazing. The sugar craving is gone. I'm fired up. And so I'm saying, serving the church, are you reaching out to others? I want to encourage you to call at least 2 people in your Bible talk every week. You don't want anything, you're just asking them, how are you doing? Just call. The other day we were at that place? At the Feed the Hungry or whatever that thing, we all went to volunteer, a bunch of us, and they had some boombox playing in the corner, and this song came on. I just called to say I love you. And so I said, Paula, get your camera out. I want you to record this. I want us to sing the chorus together. It was fun. I just called to say I love you. Just call to see how people are doing. Because one day they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. You know, when I think of somebody, I just pick up the phone. I either text them or I call them. Because the Holy Spirit put that person on my heart for a reason. Amen? Are you still listening to that voice? You know, one day we are going to spend eternity with God. Jesus came into this world to die for us. You know, and right now we get to participate in the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about winning the kingdom marathon. Woo, heaven is going to blow your mind. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome. Amen? We're going to heaven, people. Did you hear me? We're going to heaven. If that doesn't fire you up, you got problems. You got big problems. Yes, there'll be challenges in this life, but one of these days, we're going to hear that heavenly anthem. Oh, my goodness. And then, I'm going to eat all the french fries I want. And I'm not going to get any weight. Praise Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, Father, for gathering us here today. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for saving our souls and bringing us into your church. Father, as we make our way towards you and the finish line, I pray you continue to strengthen us. I pray we will never turn back. I pray we'll continue to run this race with perseverance, knowing that you have established the rules, that we need to have a devoted strategy, and knowing that, Father, quitting is not an option. Father, we thank you that you didn't quit on us, even on the cross, but you saw it through. Father, help us to see this through. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.